Bush on TV last night, given the ultimatum. You and your sons leave, or we come storming in.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, whoa, he means business now. Definitely looks like we're going to war, but I thought, hey, let's get an expert on. The terrorist and war expert we've had in the past. He seems to know about pretty much everything we want to know about it. And Casey Pilon's with us. Casey, how you doing?
Very good. How about you?
Great. You can keep him busy?
Yes, of course.
The Critical Intervention Services. Now, tell everybody what your company is actually all about first.
We specialize in high-end protective services. We do a lot of anti-terrorism planning and program development. We do a lot of high-end consulting, and we protect dignitaries and celebrities and people who travel abroad.
So now you heard the big announcement last night. I'm sure you're watching President Bush. No surprise that we're going to war. What do we got to worry about back home? Because I see they raised our warning up to an orange.
Yeah, it's amazing how some folks within our government still don't understand Al Qaeda, and they should be out there explaining to folks how Al Qaeda operates.
Well, how does it operate?
Well, Al Qaeda doesn't operate in short-term planning. They don't. If Al-Qaeda commits an attack against us, it's an attack they would have committed against us regardless of us going to war with Iraq. They take months and months and months of planning and proper target selection and what we call dry run attacks on a target. They don't just come out of the blue one day and say, we're going to attack this particular place and make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
A bigger threat probably to that's related to the war in Iraq would be the Iraqi Intelligence Service, which does have operatives within the United States. If we don't get control of that country and that government quickly within the first weeks of the war, the IIS may become a problem here.
Well, there's quite a few of those running around.
Yeah, I mean, we've expelled some not too long ago, but we've had them, for over many years now, operating within the United States. Just like any other intelligence service, any other country, you know, we have spies running around. Well, these guys could be directed at creating some problems for us, some sabotage and things like that.
Like, what kind of problems will they create?
Well, I mean, they can create. We've had sabotage attempts, for example, during World War II, where Nazis create sabotage on some of our ships, some of our facilities.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, those are the types of things that these guys could be used for. But ultimately, an Al Qaeda attack based off us going to Iraq is not a realistic connection.
No.
The attack would have happened regardless because the planning had been ongoing. Months and months and months ago, as far as years ago, depending on what we're talking about.
Now, do you think that the war that we're going to with Iraq is actually a recruiting ground for Al Qaeda?
It may create some opportunities for recruiting, but again, overall, these folks that are being recruited would have been susceptible to recruiting to begin with some of the activities unrelated to Iraq that we've been involved with in the Middle East, the Israeli conflict, for example, and other issues are. Stationing of personnel in Saudi Arabia and so on. So, it's important for us to look at this war for what it is, and it is another step in us fighting this huge potential threat of having individuals armed with weapons of mass destruction that can make 9/11 look like kid's play.
Now, really. Do you think he's that big of a threat?
Pardon me?
Do you think Saddam is that big of a threat?
Well, it doesn't matter whether Saddam is that big of a threat or not. What matters is what Saddam does with his resources.
What he has.
What he has. And it's not just Saddam, might I add. We're also talking about what the Iranian resources are, because the Iranian are actively supporting terrorism and still are today. And we're talking about the North Koreans who need to make money and are ready to sell these types of weapons to anybody who's willing to pay for them.
I'd be more concerned about North Korea, to tell you the truth.
But they're all they all have the same types of weapons, and they all have the potential to proliferate these weapons to these individuals, to these extremists.
Why is Why is France so hardcore against us going into not going there?
Well, I mean, ultimately, I'm not going to be politically correct, but I'll tell you that I mean, France has had an issue of under self-identification for a long time. I mean, they just they've got some issues they have to work out over there, unfortunately, we have to deal with them.
So you think our next move after Iraq, then where?
Well, I think that the democracy issue in Iraq may bleed over into Iran with us having to get involved militarily over there. Because the people are looking for a democratic government. The young people there have been active at it for many years now. The North Korean issue is going to be another is going to be the problem.
Big time.
That may create a lot of other issues that we haven't dealt with. I mean, these folks, you know, can reach us with nuclear weapons, so that's a whole other ballgame at that point.
I think those folks are nuts.
Pardon me?
I think the North Koreans are. They scare me a little bit.
There's a special on tonight on Cinemax, a documentary.
On North Korea?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
some guys got in there with some cameras, and it's a really bizarre city. Unbelievable, some of the things that they do in there, but it's probably worth watching. Anybody that has Cinemax, it's at 7:30 tonight, I think.
All right, cool. Now, so, how do you think things are going to go down for us in Iraq?
I don't think that the getting control of the country is going to be a problem. I think Baghdad may be maybe an issue, and I'm not a military analyst, but I do have some working at our place, and I can tell you they're not concerned about getting control of the country. Until we get to Baghdad, and then at that point that may be a little bit of a sticking point, but ultimately I don't think this is going to be a problem. Now the issue of, you know, the Al-Qaeda has moved terrorists into the, you know, streets of Baghdad, and they have suicide attackers there and so on and so forth. I don't know where the support comes for that type of theory. It's not founded in anything that I could find. Al-Qaeda is so decentralized at this point and so fragmented, I think it would be hard to move that type of troops, that level of troops, into Baghdad on a short notice like that.
So,
their communication networks are just too fragmented after the numbers of arrests that we've done in the past 3 weeks.
Especially the big one with the Mohammed guy.
Yeah, Mohammed was the operating officer of that company. I mean, plus, you know, if you look at it as a company. Plus, the guy that was with him was their financial officer. So you're talking about the two top guys right out from out of the organization. So the chairman, Bin Laden, is now left with no chief operating officer and no financial officer. That's a big problem for them.
So now
terrorism cannot operate without logistics and resources.
But see, now that's where they're pointing at these countries that are supporting them. That's how they can't continue to operate unless we get rid of them.
Yeah, and Baghdad is one of those who financially supports and provides resources to these groups.
Absolutely.
There's no question about that.
And a lot of people don't understand it, which kind of irritates me a little
bit. Ultimately, some people are nervous about this war, but I can tell you that from an anti-terrorism perspective, this is a good thing. On the long run, on the long term, this is going to be a war that's going to be fought for probably decades, not just with Iraq. I'm talking about the war on terrorism.
Okay.
And knocking down Saddam Hussein and his resources and capabilities is the proper step in the right direction to winning that war.
Very good. So what do we have to worry back home then in the next foreseeable future?
I think you know, the best line of defense that we have against terrorism attacks back home is the community. Terrorists have to operate within our communities. Terrorism is a domestic local issue. It is a local issue because they have to live somewhere, they have to work somewhere, they have to buy things, I'm a big supporter of educating the community on what to look for and how to recognize potential bad guys. I would recommend, we have an article on our page on public awareness at our webpage. Go to it, read it. Educate yourself on what is it that we're supposed to be looking for, and when you do see something suspicious, report it.
What's your website?
CISWorldServices.org. And then when you get there, just go to publications, and you'll have something called public awareness. I think every citizen should read it. It's a great article that myself and Craig Gundry put together. It does something that the government hasn't really done a good job at, telling people, what is it are we looking for?
Right. Yeah.
That's key,
what we need.
It is what we need, and you know, so it's worth taking the time to read it. Terrorism operates at a local level. It's like saying Elizabeth Smart. If somebody would not have watched those shows, she would not have been recovered.
That's right.
So if somebody was educated to say, "Hey, I recognize this person." Well, it's the same thing dealing with terrorism. You have to know what clues to look for. What is suspicious and what is not in terms of terrorism. So it's the community's responsibility, it's the community's duty to educate themselves.
So worst case scenario, then, let's say another attack did happen. What kind of attack do you think the next one would possibly be?
I'll tell you what keeps me up at night is our seaports. A lot of our seaports are not adequately protected. Some are. I think up in your area is you have some really good protection. But there's other seaports around the country that are moving hazardous materials in and out, ammonia, for example. They're not adequately protected. And a lot of the people doing the threat assessments on the ports are not qualified to do it. You need to have people that specialize in risk assessment and threat assessment to identify vulnerabilities as well as realistic targets. You've got guys running around right now trying to protect everything within a port when not everything is vulnerable to terrorism.
Yeah.
But other than that, the ports and some of the, I think some of our water supplies are well protected. There are some that are not. But again, with water, it takes a lot of chemicals biological agent to contaminate it just because of the sheer amount of water.
What about nuclear plants?
Nuclear plants, I'm pretty good with. You can always improve, but I got to tell you, some of the nuclear plant security is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And the guys, the guys out there train all day long. That's what they do. They train for this every day. It must be great to get paid to just train.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But I'm comfortable with that. There are certain airport controls that are not in place that should happen. But ultimately, the bottom line here's where we're at. I think we're really good at being able to respond to a terrorism incident.
Mm-hmm.
Once the terrorism incident occurs, we have developed response systems that are phenomenal. But I think we've got a lot of work to do on preventing terrorism before the terrorism attack happens. And that's a very different mindset. It's one thing to be able to respond to one. It's a whole other ballgame to try to prevent one.
It. Yes, very good. Casey, always a pleasure having
you on.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being on.
Critical Intervention Services. Check them out on the web. A lot of great information. You can learn about it and protect yourself. And we'll see what happens in the next coming days here with the war on Iraq.